I have a card I'd like to read from the family of Evelyn Helms. Dear Lakeview friends, our hearts have been touched by the outpouring of love and concern during our mother and grandmother's sickness and homegoing. Thank you for making this time easier by calling, making visits, sending cards and food. Thank you for praying for our family. We've been blessed by all your acts of love. Jerry and Peggy Funderburk, Melvin and Troanne Funderburk, and Lance and Michelle Snyder. And I know you'll continue to pray for this family during this time of grief. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 20. And yes, I'm talking about the resurrection today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and the cross that accompanied that 3 days before is the focal point or the high point of all civilization. When Jesus went to the cross and died and sealing our redemption, and then on the third day he arose from the dead, that changed the world. And it's been changed ever since. And it's still changing. Yes, we still have evil in the world. We still have the devil and the demons and spiritual warfare. And people still get sick and die. We still have all that. But we've read the final chapter, haven't we? The final chapter of the book tells us that we're winners, that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we don't have to wait for that victory. That victory is ours today if we are believers in Christ. So it's always good to review the facts around the resurrection and to be reminded that this is part of where our victory comes from. And if you're here today and you have some kind of defeat in your life, some kind of problem, some kind of stumbling block, a hindrance, you can get that out of your way today by simply claiming what's already yours. The victorious walk of a Christian can be yours. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, I invite you right now. You know, maybe through this singing, God's touched your heart. You'd like to receive Christ. At any moment during this service, you're within order to just step down to the front or to tap somebody on the shoulder and say, answer my questions. Tell me more about Jesus. It's always in order in a church of Jesus Christ to have somebody saved. It doesn't happen just at the end of the service. The Holy Spirit's in charge here today. And I've already asked the Holy Spirit to speak through me. And I've asked the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And I've asked the Holy Spirit to remove all hindrances. Just get everything out of the way so that God's message will be heard, will be understood, and will be obeyed. That's the most important part for you and me, is the obedience part. So join me today as we stand together to read God's Word, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to him, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Father, bless the reading of your word to our hearts and to our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The father of Judaism was Abraham. He died in 1900 B.C. And this is what happened to other founders of religions like Buddha and Muhammad, the founder of Islam. They all died. But the founder of the Christian faith is Jesus Christ, and he lives. That's what sets us apart. Our head, that's what he calls himself, our head, and he calls us his body. Our head is alive. See, if our head was not alive, then how could the body be alive? So he gives us life. The moment that we receive Christ as Savior and Lord, we become a child of the kingdom. And life comes in. You say, well, I was living before. No, you weren't. The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. So the spiritual part of man was dead. And that was true for each of us. But the split second that we believed, we became alive, truly alive, within our spirit. And that dead, empty place that was there in the center of our being was filled by the Holy Spirit of God, who is Jesus in you. So when we live our lives today, we have Jesus with us, and he is guiding us. So this subject of the resurrection is so crucial to the abundant life. In the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking more about abundant living, about victorious living that stems from the cross and the resurrection. Now, the Old Testament saints, they had this kind of victory, but it was far off to them. I mean, God would come and live with them. God would dwell with them. But not until Jesus came, and that was God in flesh, not until he came to earth and really showed us who God is, and then he went to the cross and he arose and then ascended. That's when people really began to grasp what was going on, to the point that about 40 days after the ascension of Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a powerful sermon and 3,000 were saved. Now, you don't find testimonies like that in the Old Testament. But you find testimonies like that through the book of Acts in the New Testament. Today, why isn't God moving like he once moved? It's because we're getting in the way. We're trying to do church our way. We're trying to do things our way. We need to get out of God's way and let him work. Amen? We need to simply say every day, Lord, what would you have me do? As a church, Lord, what would you have us do? Lord, where will you take us today? Lord, what mission do you want us to be involved in today? What soul do we need to go to down the street and witness to? We need to be just constantly praying because this power of the resurrection is ours. But why isn't there more fruit? You go to countries like China, South Korea, they're having revival. But they're praying. They're spending hours in prayer and asking God, what do you want us to do? Folks, I believe Lakeview is at that place in Lakeview's life. We need to say, God, what would you have us do? We went through the transition process and that question was asked and we addressed it partly. But this needs to be a church-wide thing. Every person in the church, if you're a believer, you need to be asking, God, what are we supposed to do? See, we have things to do. There's people to witness to. There's people to minister to. There's hurting people. There's hurting lives. There's families breaking up. There's all matters of things. There's kids and adults on opioids and other drugs, and they're dying. They're physically dying all around us. And we're playing church. If those who were in here at 7 o'clock service, you're wondering what's happened. I didn't do this at 7. This isn't in my notes. Church, we're ready. We're on the verge of going forward. We need to go forward. And we need to let God take us. We need Him to show us the way. Let's talk about the resurrection a little bit, because that's where we get our power. If we're going to do anything, it's going to come from a resurrected Lord working through us. Agreed? That's the only way that's going to happen. First of all, the resurrection is a significant event in Scripture. I've already said that. It's so significant. For non-believers, it offers an opportunity to believe in Christ. In Matthew 12, 38 to 40, it talks about how people look for a sign. This adulterous generation is looking for a sign. And Jesus said, for as long as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Non-believers can see the resurrection and receive a message. Secondly, it's for believers. It helps to dispel our doubts. Now, as they said these things, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened, supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. He said, behold, handle me, touch me. And then later in those verses, he says, hey, have you got any food here? What a question. The resurrected Jesus, have you got any food here? And they said, yeah, we got some fish and honeycomb. He said, well, give me something to eat. And he ate. In his resurrected body, he ate. That tells us a couple of things about our new bodies. We're going to be able to feel things. We're going to be able to touch things, and others can touch us. But here's the good part. We'll be able to eat. Think about that. You'll be able to eat and not worry about the cholesterol or the carbs or the calories. Good thing. But this was Jesus. Jesus was showing them, I'm not just a spirit. And by the way, this is Luke 24, 36 to 43. Only Christians worship a risen Savior. His name is Jesus. Christianity is based on the supernatural event of someone conquering death. This is what sets it apart. There are many skeptics that say, oh, this is not true. But we, through faith, we know it's true. Jesus conquered death, therefore, we don't have to worry about death now. Death is the last enemy, Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Death is the last enemy, and Jesus has conquered the last enemy. There's no more enemies that can do anything to you. You ought to be saying hallelujah or something. There's no thing that can harm you, because the greatest thing is death, and Jesus conquered death. Secondly, the resurrection verifies the good character of Jesus. You know, in other words, Jesus said, I'm going to die, but I'm going to live again. In Acts 22:22-24, it verifies the teachings of Jesus to be true. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Try as much as you will, you can't kill the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ is the source of life. How in the world are you going to kill the source of life? It's impossible. Not only does it verify the teaching of Jesus to be true, it has become the central message of the gospel. If righteousness shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Romans 4, 24, 25. Very important thing here. A very important theological point. For us to be saved, there's a couple of things we need to believe. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is God. Secondly, we need to believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Now, many Christians stop there. I know he's God. He died for my sins. But did you hear what I just read to you? You also must believe that he was raised from the dead. It says he was raised for our justification. That was a memory verse in continuing witness training years ago. I've had that in my heart for 30 years, I guess. He was raised for our justification. The resurrection is important. It's the central message of the gospel. You say, I don't know how to witness to people. Do you know how to say Jesus is God? Do you know how to say Jesus went to the cross and died for your sin. Do you know how to say, on the third day, Jesus arose from the dead and he lives forevermore? If you know how to say those things, you can witness. You tell them those three scriptural truths and then tell them your personal testimony, and you've done what God wants you to do. Tell them what happened to you. Tell them how God saved you. Listen, when you give your personal testimony, nobody can dispute it. It's your testimony. They'll let you talk. They'll let you say whatever because it's your testimony. They're not going to break in and say, no, that didn't happen. They're not going to do that. I can guarantee you they're not going to do that. I've talked to too many people. None of them tried to break in the middle of my testimony. They all were silent until I got finished. And I asked the question, now, how come something like this can't happen to you today? Then they'd talk. And usually they'd say, I can't see any reason why I can't do that today. Because, you know, it's so easy. Jesus made salvation simple. Death, burial, resurrection. That's it. Now, it wasn't easy for him. It was awful for him. But he died in our stead. He died in our place because he loves us. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, but which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's very important. Christ died according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. How? According to the Scriptures. The Old Testament prophets had laid down the story. They had set the pattern. Then here comes Jesus, and he lives it and he fulfills it according to the Scriptures. So it verifies the good character of Jesus. Thirdly, the resurrection is the moving force behind the church's growth and influence. Listen to this, Lakeview. Because I've heard many people say, we want to grow, we want to grow, we want to grow. Well, bless your dear hearts, just sitting back saying, I want to grow, you're not going to make you grow. That doesn't make you grow. We want to grow. Okay, what you going to do? What you going to do? What are you doing to grow? The first thing you got to do to grow is go. Right? Great Commission. Somebody's calling God. The Great Commission says go. Go into all the world. Go into all the world and make disciples. So, yeah. Resurrection is the moving force behind the church's growth and influence. It promotes evangelism. Just make note of this, you know it. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission. You just read it later today. It promotes evangelism. It's also the primary source of daily power as the believer lives the Christian life. You say, well, you know, I get all hung up in life and I can't witness because I got my own problems. Well, you need to give those problems to God so you can get down to business. Because why do you think Jesus saved you? So you could be happy. Get over it. That's not it. He saved you so that you could do his work in the earth. And what is his primary work? It's evangelism. Philippians 3:10, that's what Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, we want to leave that out, don't we? Listen, being conformed to his death. Do you hear that? Those are hard words. Do you want to have joy in the Christian life? Then live that. Live that and you'll have joy in the Christian life. Now, sufferings are going to come along. Even being conformed to Christ's death. Woo-wee. Man, that's a price to pay, isn't it? I've got to die to self. Yes. I'm not the first one who's told you that. Just reminding you. Thirdly, it is the reason for the total commitment a Christian has in his life. 1 Corinthians 15:57-58, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain when you do it in the Lord. You're going to have fruit now. Or later. For some of us, people that we've witnessed to, we don't even realize they got saved in this life. But when we get to heaven, they'll be there to greet us. And they'll come up to us and say, "You were one of the many who told me about Jesus. Thank you. Thank you so much." It's not in vain. Number four, the resurrection offers encouragement to the believer. First of all, it prevents us from fearing death. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." You don't have to be afraid to die. Also, it's related to the second coming of Jesus. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Acts 1:11. Revelation 1:7. "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." You know who the clouds are? That's us. That's the church. When he comes back, we're coming back with him. And finally, the resurrection gives us a look into our future with God. Christ's resurrection is a model of the Christian's resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians 6:14, "And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." When you stand by the casket at the cemetery and the service is over, the preacher said the last amen, and they take that casket and they lower it into the ground, and your heart sinks because you say to yourself, "There goes my loved one. I'll never see them again." That's not true. First of all, your loved one's not in that casket. I'm letting that sink in. They're not in that casket. That's their body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They're not in that cemetery with you. They're with the Lord. Secondly, they're living. They're alive. They're more alive than they've ever been. Thirdly, if you're a believer, you're going to go see them. You're going to be there. You're going to be with them one day. Christ's resurrection is a model of our resurrection from the dead. Also, the resurrection of Christ provides the believer a foretaste of heaven. Philippians 3:20-21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, listen to this, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. I'm over 50. Well, let's go ahead. I'm over 60. I'm over 65. I don't jump up out of the bed like I used to. Say, what? Let's go. No, I wake up and I have to think about it. I need to get up. It may take a minute or so, but I start moving. Slowly. But I get to the bathroom. And then I proceed to get ready for the day. Well, why is all that? Why do we slow down? Because we're subject to the aging process. We, you know, Adam sinned. And that messed up a lot of things. We're going to get a new body. Going to get a new body. It's going to be new. It's going to be young. It's going to be disease free. It's going to be blemish free. It's going to last for eternity. It's got to be really good to last that long. No, you think God brings us in and says, whoop, you've gone a million years, got to tune up your new body. No! That new body will last for eternity, and there's no end to that. New body. The resurrection shows us this. See, Jesus came as a man just like we are, tempted in every way, yet without sin. That's what Hebrews says. The perfect man. He's our model. A German theologian expressed in a single sentence the great span from Good Friday to Resurrection Day. Don't you like Resurrection Day better than Easter? I kind of do. Anyhow, the great span from Good Friday to Resurrection Day. It is, in fact, a summary of human history. Past, present, and future is shown to us by this statement. God weeps with us so that we may someday laugh with him. So we're going to go through tears. We're going to have loss. We're going to have pain. We're going to have a lot of things because we're in a fallen world. But every time we weep, the Father weeps with us. But one day, we're going to go home. And when we get home, we're going to have so much joy. We're going to laugh. We're going to cut up. We're just going to cut up. We're going to have a spell. And my goodness, you'll look at Jesus and he's laughing with you. Enjoying seeing his child finally home, having a great time. God is so good to us. Even now, he gives us the victory. He allows us to have abundant life. Even now, he lets us in on his plan for world evangelism, for helping those who are without, for getting medical supplies to those who need medical supplies, whatever it is. His church is a living organism and made up of different parts with different gifts And this is God's plan, and it all hinges on the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Had it not happened, we would not have all this. I want to challenge you with something. What's God calling you to do? Well, I'm talking about something new. What's something new that God wants you to do? How can you get involved in the work of the kingdom? How can you get involved with this mood and this feeling at Lakeview that says, we want to grow? Well, God's asking you, all right, what are you going to do? There's a lot of stuff you can do, and I'm not going to go into all that. I'm going to let God tell you what to do. What are you going to do? We're going to have a time of invitation, a time of decision. That's what this is for. If you'd like to come forward and pray, the altar's open to you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, somehow you wandered in here, didn't realize what you were getting into. But by coming, you got introduced to Jesus in a real way. Then won't you tap somebody on the shoulder or ask somebody to come down the altar with you and let them explain further how you can become a child of God. Or as a believer, just be ready to receive what God wants you to do. Be ready to be obedient. You might say, Lord, I don't know exactly what you want me to do, but tell me. I open my heart to you. If you'll open your heart to him, he'll tell you. He really will. He'll tell you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you for the way that you lead us and direct us and show us the truth of God. Lord, on this Resurrection Sunday, I pray that as you speak to hearts, that hearts will be obedient to you. And as they are, I pray that you receive all honor and glory for what's going to be done. Lord, help our church. Help our church here at Lakeview to be obedient. There's so much we need to do in the future. We have the task of calling a pastor, but we still have the task of continuing to disciple people of every age. The task is too large for us to do alone, and we need you to help us. But Lord, you're also calling your people to rise up and serve and to be used by you so the kingdom of God might be extended here in Unionville and roundabout. So Lord, whatever you do, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me, would you? Come right now.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to God, I come.
Amen. Thank you. I love you today. And I know you love me. So many of you have verbally told me that. And I appreciate that. And today I just want to wish you a wonderful Resurrection Day. Enjoy it with family or friends or whomever. And let it be a memorable day. But remember, the Lord's empowered us to do His job. So don't forget that as you go out. Shannon?
Amen. I want to ask you to go ahead and be seated this morning. And I just want to give you one quick reminder, and then we have one more thing before we go. But just remember this week, this Wednesday, we're not going to have any small groups, any Bible studies, any children, students are not going to be meeting. Just give you time for spring break. Please spend that with your family. Have a good rest of the day today and a good week with your family. And I'm going to have a word of prayer, but please don't leave. We want to do one more song for you. And what we're going to do is we just want you to worship with us. Worship with us on this Resurrection Sunday, okay? Let me pray for us, and then we'll sing. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time today. Thank you for this Resurrection Day. Thank you for that third day, Lord, that you conquered the grave. And Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glory in you today. And Father, I pray in just a moment as we leave this place that God, we will remember all that you have done for us. And that God, that we'll spend the day today and even this week celebrating that fact and telling others about you. Thank you, Lord. We love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.